I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but they are kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we're broadcasting live. The Summer of Love Tour, it continues from the Atomic Koi, one of Hawk's finer neighborhood bars. Got lots of nice folks showing up here, joining the political party. And we're going to be joined right now live via phone by John Nichols of The Nation. I got to tell you, John, there's a little bit of disappointment. There's a bar, or a beer on the bar with your name on it. And Dave says, and it seems like a self-serving challenge, but let me explain it. Dave says, if you don't show up to drink this beer, he's going to be forced to drink it himself, John.
Hey, John.
How you doing, man? Welcome back.
I knew that was going to be the case. But I am sorry not to be there because, you know, if I'd known it was the Summer of Love tour, I would have canceled everything.
Oh, it continues, John.
It continues. Maybe next time, my friend.
But love to everybody there and to that glass of beer right on that counter.
So, John Nichols, let me ask you. I see you posted a piece at The Nation magazine. Jeff Bezos, you don't mind if we send his ass to space as long as he pays some taxes here on Earth. So are you in Cape Canaveral or wherever they're launching this rich man's dream from, John? Where are you observing the Bezos near space flight from?
It's done, right? So I was up in this morning just looking to see if I could see him go by. But, I didn't get all the way to Cape Canaveral. I will tell you, though, I had a moral debate. I mean, I had to think about it. I treated it very seriously. I wasn't sure whether we should necessarily be in favor of him coming back. But
you weren't rooting against him so much as not cheering for him, John?
Well, I had to think about it, but then I thought to myself, no, that's not right. You know, of course, he's one of us. He's an Earthling, and so he can come back. But I was just thinking that, you know, how sometimes when you're traveling – and, you know, you're thinking of what road to go on. You look at the Atlas or your, Google, and you don't really think it through too much, and you end up on a toll road, and you got to pay them, right? So I was thinking that perhaps, like, right after he took off, we should, send a message up to the rocket with a notification about the landing fees to return to Earth. And I thought, this is my calculation. You guys are better at math than I, but I was toying with the idea of saying that we have like a $200 billion landing fee. and that would, go into the general treasury just to cover expenses and stuff. And that would still, he'd have to pay $200 billion, upon return. But he would still be one of the richest men in the world. So I don't think it would be too tough on him. And we'd be up $200 billion. To fight cancer and solve problems.
John, my understanding, Bezos invested, air quotes, $5.5 billion of his own money for this, 4-minute flight. So that comes out to, $1.38 billion per minute he expended. And, I'd feel bad for the man, but he's probably making more than that per minute at Amazon right now, or at least he did through
exactly
the pandemic.
Making more than that. He did during the pandemic, astronomically, extraterrestrially more than that. During the pandemic, he made tens of billions. He made so much money, he didn't even know how to spend it, which is obvious. But I did calculate it out because I tried to figure out, how much does he make a minute, right? And so he's up there for 11 minutes. And so he made about $1.7 million just on that trip, right? He made $1.7 million. That is the same as the average American makes in a lifetime.
Wow.
So, wow. And if you work in radio, not nearly that much.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're working radio, that's how much that's how much you lose in a lifetime. But the bottom line is that his little joyride ends up costing, whatever it costs, the money he puts into it. But he makes so much money, and he makes that, every 11 minutes, he makes what an American makes, the average American makes in a lifetime. So when he's sleeping tonight, he's going to make that every 11 minutes. When he's, having breakfast tomorrow, he's every 11 minutes. So the fact of the matter is, the guy's got too much money. You know what I mean? I know it's hard to imagine where the line is on too much money, but I think we have identified it. And so I believe that is the point at which you have to start paying taxes, you know, because we will actually save him from, you know, having to face the question of whether he wants to go on another rocket trip or all, you know, that sort of stuff. We'll say, no, no, you know, you got to do this cool thing. Now you have to pay taxes like everybody else. And you may not be able to go to space as often as you like, but you know what? Nobody else can either, except Elon Musk, who we should also tax.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. John Nichols from The Nation magazine, talking Bezos and space. All right, Jeff, I see these as I'm sorry, John, I see these as separate issues.
You can call me Jeff. You just have to give me a $1 billion.
Right, man. Hey, send me a check. I'll call you Jeff. I see this as separate issues, and certainly I understand. You know, we the American people, our politicians, we have created this tax code, right? And guys like Bezos and all these other billionaires are taken full advantage of that, right? So we're not alleging any sort of fraud or anything along those lines. But yes, we certainly need to nail down to make sure there's at least some minimum tax, perhaps the wealth tax, too, that guys like Bezos and the rest of these billionaires are contributing to our country's causes, right? I mean, this country made them vastly wealthy, and they should at least be paying their fair share. Now, that is also a subjective number. I totally get it. But what I do know, it's higher than zero, John. It's higher than zero. A little higher than zero. But from the business aspect, from the commercial aspect of this, he's still, you know, he's selling $1 billion in Amazon stock a year to finance this endeavor. And if we're talking from a business plan, we're going to bring people up into space for 10 minutes, and it's going to be a 10-minute ride, and that's what we're doing. We're going to charge, you know, $250,000 per seat. That's what we're starting at. So he's putting, you know, he's losing money on this to start with. And granted, I know there's been some pushback from Crudy about, you know, whatever subsidization, the NASA or the government may be giving to him.
NASA actually went up there and created the map, right? You know what I mean? It's like, right, we did pay for to establish the idea that you can go to space, right? You know, we did a lot.
No question.
The Russians had to their part. So there you go. Okay, back to your question.
But so to that point, though, it's not certainly not the government's role to provide joyrides into space. And if someone wants to invest their money to do so, don't you think there's some benefit to that? Obviously, the government thought there was. It wouldn't have helped subsidize this.
Why isn't it the government's role to provide joyrides?
Exactly. Please continue.
What's wrong with the government?
Why is it not the government's role to provide rides, joyrides into space?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, if you can make if people are dumb enough to want to pay $250 million to spend 11 minutes in a hatch with, you know, some other people that are dumb enough to pay that, or if you like space, smart enough, whatever, you know, why does that have to go to some private sector hustler? Why couldn't the government do that? We sort of, you know, it's like, why is the government always ending up as the chump, right? We create the internet, and then Jeff Bezos makes hundreds of billions of dollars, right? Internet developed by our military, his research thing. We build the highways, right? And the trucking industry, and everybody makes billions, you know, blah, blah, blah. We do everything, right? And we do it right. We do it well. And then we've got all these people that come along and make their fortunes. I am not against, you know, the corner store or, you know, the entrepreneurial, you know, scrappy little radio personality that puts a show on in Madison and Milwaukee. But I do think, you know, when you're talking about things like going into outer space, right, literally, you know, the heavens, so to speak, I'm not sure that it should really be a tourism game anyway. But if it is going to be, I'm not sure that you shouldn't have the people that kind of know about that stuff, you know, if that would be a way to fund the space program, for instance, you know, why would that be wrong?
John, do you know when it's going to become America's responsibility? The first time one of these billionaires crash their rocket, right? And there's some liability. Then it's going
to
be a socialist exercise.
What if Jeff Bezos got stuck up there, right? You know, I don't know if he can get stuck in space. But let's say something somehow he had trouble getting. What would we have to do? We'd have the whole country going, oh, we've got to, you know, marshal the NASA program to send up a rescue crew. It'd be like some guy in his boat getting stuck out on a lake, right? You know? And so right. we would save him because he's Bezos and because he's a human being and that's our duty. But
and we can charge him for the effort because his checks will cash because we know he's got a lot of money because he's not paying any taxes.
Yeah, it's like when the ambulance comes, right? You know, and you charge for the ambulance, which I don't think you should do. But in this case, again, I'm going to recommend my $200 billion fee. Or $200 billion. I just want to make
$200 billion landing fee.
Yeah, right, because he's not a trillionaire yet. Did you know this, by the way? I mean, just for your instruction, that there's now actually folks who are charting out when Bezos will become a trillionaire.
Wow.
And it's not very long. It's like, you know,
all he needs is one more tax cut.
Yeah, that's right. We'll start giving him the money.
John, let me ask you, the current president, Joe Biden's got a big problem on his hands in this regard. I know it's a little bit of a turn away from Bezos and the space race, but we've got a Delta variant that's creeping up on America in a big sort of way. And, you know, Joe Biden's problem is that the vaccination, it was working right up until it came time for the Republicans to take their vaccine.
John, I
got to ask you, in the whole social Darwinism, if Republicans are unwilling or just, damn it, they're going to die if they want to die. John, at what level of responsibility do we feel as citizens or media members to try to encourage those guys? I mean, didn't Darwin tell us it's all going to work itself out eventually?
No, I don't know if I trust Darwin. You know, in fairness, I was a little up here on this issue until Sean Hannity came on it last night. And, you know, Sean Hannity said on Fox last night that we have to take this COVID thing seriously. And so sort of a stunning statement of fact,
wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but he did it. So I've got to follow his lead here and say that we have a duty, as painful as it may be, to provide education to everybody. And to do our very best to make sure that people who disagree with us, as well as people we love, get that vaccination. Because at the end of the day, if we start to practice social Darwinism, if our side, the good side, people of light, start to practice social Darwinism, how long do you think it's going to be before the other side practices it on us?
Yeah, but, you know, just protecting ourselves with a cure to a disease, John. You know, if they're going to they're not going to talk me into taking poison against my own better judgment, John.
I am going to encourage them to take the vaccine, man, because the fact of the matter is one of them's going to cough on you at some point, you know, and who knows, the variants are getting ugly and stuff like that. So for a million reasons. As frustrating as it may be, and I'm with Sean Hannity on this one. You know, I'm following the conservative line. Everybody, go get your shot.
John Nichols from The Nation. John, you got a few more minutes for us because we got some more questions for you, sir.
I am here to serve.
Excellent.
Well, they'll serve you if you show up here, which is at the Atomic Koi. John Nichols joins us via phone. We got lots of nice people here. The party is beginning. Crudy starts drinking about 4 o'clock, man. Then it's going to get all messy up in here. But in the meantime, come back. More John Nichols, more Devil's Advocates. Hawks, Atomic Koi.
Take a look out of starboard.
Oh my God, it looks like a huge...
Pecker! That looks just like my husband's...
One-eyed monster!
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. If you miss any of this fine program, please go online to devilradio927.com. You can listen to and download podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, we got the finest of guests live via phone. He is John Nichols from The Nation, friend of ours. John, there are cold beverages here. Ours have just been served here at the table. But, John, we appreciate you joining us live via phone. And we've got to ask you about the newest entrant into the U.S. senatorial race. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes got the email, got the solicitation. Apparently, he's made it official. John, what's your thoughts on LT Barnes running for U.S. Senate against Rojo?
We got John?
Hey, what happened to our pal John?
All right, John's on hold. We'll wait and see if we can get John back.
Don, what was your impression of Mandela Barnes jumping into the big senatorial?
Shocked. Shocked, I tell you. Of course, not shocked at all. I'm just kidding. You know, we knew this was that he's going to have an event today. We've been talking about it for some time. I like Mandela Barnes personally. I'm excited that he is in the race. I look forward to seeing some really good Democratic candidates, you know, battle it out for the opportunity to take on Ron Johnson, man. I mean, this is a very important election, and I think he rounds out the field very well.
Well, I don't think he jumped in to round out the field. I think he jumped in to win it. John Nichols, always a winner. Thanks for sticking around, John. Wanted to ask you about Mandela Barnes getting into the U.S. senatorial race. What do you think about Mandela's chances? Is he the automatic front runner by virtue of the fact he is the lieutenant governor?
I think there's a pretty good chance of that. I think he's got probably the highest name recognition at this point, although after tonight, Alex Lazary could have the highest name recognition.
Right.
Depending how the Bucks
do. Bucks at six.
It's not going to hurt, you know, Lazary tonight if the Bucks do well. But with that said, Mandela Barnes, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see his video?
I have not yet.
He released. It's really good. I mean, and the reason I bring that up, even as facile as it may seem to talk about videos of candidates, is that that's become one of the new measures of, are you up for this thing? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know how to do it? And by far, I would argue that the video launching Mandela Barnes' campaign was the most professional of all the candidates, the most kind of savvy. And it had him running through the city of Milwaukee, of course, that's where he's from, but also lots of scenes with farmers and sitting on warehouse docks and factories and having lunch with workers and stuff like that. And I have to tell you, you know what it looked like? It looked like a Tammy Baldwin hat. It looked like, because that's what Baldwin's been so smart about, of linking, you know, not just the Democratic bases in Milwaukee and Madison, but also bringing in rural Wisconsin, small towns, farm country, and, you know, our manufacturing sector. So I just think that Barnes, he has started with a good show of strength, and it's going to be a long, hard race. There's no question of that. I don't think he is necessarily, you should presume he's going to be the winner, but I do think that there's a pretty good chance that, as you suggest, he starts as the front runner.
Now, how much advantage, personally, do you think to candidate Alex Lazary, and for those listening outside of the Wisconsin area, Alex Lazary is the son of one of the primary Milwaukee Bucks owners, apparently a very well-heeled man, and he's taken his leap from his position as an executive with the Bucks organization, and they are, you know, on the precipice of history. Let's hope it's Bucks in six, John. But is Alex Lazary, as a candidate, does he garner all the credit for the Bucks victory? Hell, I saw Scott Walker trying to claim he's been a 40-year Bucks fan today.
Yeah, I'd like to see them play basketball with Scott Walker. He can be the ball, but the bottom line here is that is it going to help Lazary if the Bucks win? Yeah, I think it will. And, you know, I just ask you a question. If you remember a little Wisconsin history, what happened to the last Bucks owner?
Well, Herb Cole, the last Bucks owner, Senator Cole.
Yeah, we elected him to the U.S. Senate. Yeah.
But he also invested a hell of a lot of money, John, and he did so very early in the race. He owned the airwaves, and maybe that's the Lasry plan. Lasry's been leading the fundraising about $1 million per quarter, but unless he's tapping Dad's money, I don't know how he's going to buy up the airwaves from here to next November's election in the same way that Herb Kohl did.
Yeah, and look, here's also the reality. Sarah Godlewski, the state treasurer, is going to have a substantial campaign treasury. She will be able to spend a lot. There is,
and
no,
she has the backing of Emily's List already, doesn't she, John?
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. And Mandela Barnes has a lot of support in-state, and frankly, a lot of people around the country that are very enthusiastic about him as a rising young leader. And so I think he's going to actually have quite a bit of money. And, you know, I'll note that Tom Nelson, you know, from up and out of Gaming County, turned in some reasonably good fundraising figures just the last quarter. So I think you're going to see a lot of TV. I don't think anybody's going to dominate in the way that Herb Kohl did. The winner of this race, because it's an August primary with looks like it's going to have like 8 candidates or more. The winner of this race is going to be the person who goes out and hustles hardest across Wisconsin, goes to a lot of county party dinners and, you know, fairs and events throughout the rest of the year and into next year. And it's a long haul. It's a hard, hard effort. And so it's that work ethic. Certainly the money helps. I don't deny that. But then finally, it's going to be a set of issues. And the interesting thing is that the winner of the primary is going to be the person who presents a set of issues that seem attractive enough, approaches that seem appealing enough that people can say, yeah, I want that person in the Senate. And as Democrats, they'll say, and I believe this guy's or this woman's approach will be sufficient to defeat Ron Johnson. So
John Nichols,
a lot more to this than just money.
The National Affairs Correspondent with The Nation magazine. John, we've got about 1 minute left. How do you think this impacts the governor's race, Governor Evers no longer having Mandela Barnes as a sidecar?
I think that Governor Evers, who had a pretty gracious statement about Barnes getting in the Senate race, will have a lieutenant governor who is very, very strong. And I'm already hearing a lot of names like Marcella Nicholson out of Milwaukee and others. I've even heard rumors that somebody might drop out of the Senate race and move over to the lieutenant governor's race. So at the end of the day, Evers is fine if he picks a good lieutenant governor candidate. And then also, remember, there is the possibility that the voters will decide to put Mandela Barnes on the ballot next to Evers as the Senate candidate. So I don't think the departure from the ticket by Barnes is necessarily all that harmful to Evers.
John Nichols from The Nation magazine. He's a friend of ours. Thank you so much, John, for coming around on this on-the-road party from the Atomicoy today. Come back with us live from the Atomicoy in Fitchburg. The 4 o'clock happier happy hour commences right now.
Thanks, John.
I will be back soon with Jeff Angel.
He got away in that rocket that looks like a huge...